Now, the Lord laid on my heart last Sunday just those words, and I've been praying all week to know exactly the notes. And so the subs of my notes, I don't know where they are. I didn't need them anyway, so push them on there because I won't need them. But I know that I've got something I'm going to say to you, and I want the Holy Spirit to help me to say it to you. The countdown is on. And God has made me to know, to tell you, the countdown is on. Now, if God thinks the countdown is on, it is on. You say, do you think it's on just because you said so? I think I can take the Bible and prove to you the countdown is on. Now, what I'm talking about when I say the countdown, there's a lot of countdowns in the Bible, and I can show you where it was a countdown. When there was one certain thing that triggered the thing off. And then from that second, brother, the countdown was on. Now, what do we mean the countdown? We ought to all be filled with the knowledge of what countdowns mean. There was all different kind of stages of these rockets. They called them half a dozen different names. But the one that we all know real well, the one they call Apollo, and then there's the Saturn rocket that the men went in and shut themselves in, and they were all leaned back and showed a picture of them there. They were waiting for the countdown. And before they sent that thing to the moon, that was before man ever gone. That was the first time he's shooting off to the moon. It was very interesting. They said that 6:32 the next morning, I think it was, would be the start of the countdown. And it would be 199.98 and on down to 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, blast off. But there were two or three things that came up. One was a leak in a certain department, and that leak had to be checked. They had every kind of a thousand kind of valves and every kind of a apparatus, like if you're going along and your generator's not, the belt went off or something, your generator's not working, they got a little light in that little old cheap car you've got. You know, it'll say generator, 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 and you run into the Phillips, say, hey, something wrong with generator. Or it says water, 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 water. Your water's low and you're going to burn your motor up, and it'll do like that. Or there's different things it'll tell you, you know. And if our little old puny cars, they have them like that, how much more a rocket that's going to send men to the moon? And they had all kind of gadgets. And finally they said, countdown off, we have to check this. And so they went, I think it was a couple of days, and they said, we're hoping that day after tomorrow we will set the countdown. And then the weather, it happened to be the subterranean stream, the jet stream up there that... It travels about 100, 200 miles an hour. You go up there in that air, where here it's going along about 20 miles an hour. That's pretty fast, 20 miles an hour. But up there, the jet stream goes about 150, 200 miles, like that, you know. And all those things have to be encountered. And the maneuvering of the jet stream moved a little bit out of its place, and that had to be adjusted for. So they put it off till finally they kept on setting it off. Till finally they said, countdown, 2:27 a.m. in the morning. 2:27 a.m. countdown. Then they start counting down. That meant the men are in. The door is shut. It's sealed in. Everything has been checked. Everything is in line. Countdown on. And then, brother, they begin to count down. People left everywhere, rang the alarm clocks, got up, watched the thing, and when they come down to that countdown, and finally, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, the camera panned out in the countryside. There were thousands and thousands of automobiles. Some of them had lights because it was still kind of dark, and you could see everywhere. And all at once, you could see that old thing up there begin to move back, the old elevator. And it was about 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And just as the last thing that balanced it jerked the loose, it said zero, and up they went. The countdown was on. And the Lord brought to my mind that for a long while, God has been telling us that Jesus is coming for his bride. The trumpet's going to blow, and two will be in the bed, two in the field, one will be taken to the left, two will be grinding at the mill, and there will be people scattered everywhere. One will be taken, the other will be left, no matter where you are. But all over the face of the earth, we are going to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, go back to heaven, have the marriage supper of the Lamb, and get ready to come back and reign 1,000 years. Now, that is what the Bible has taught us. Now, we've been praying about it. We've been talking about it. Tongues of interpretation has been given from time to time. And I guess there's been millions of messages and tongues and interpretation that I'm coming soon. Prepare, children. Stay ready. That I'm coming. And the preachers back there, when I first got converted, God poured out his latter rain and the whole earth began to receive the Holy Ghost, and God began to bring together the body as it was back on the day of Pentecost. They called them Pentecost. They were not made up of Pentecostal people because there were no Pentecostal people existing. The church had gone underground through great persecution, through the Dark Ages, and through Constantine brought the crisis. And so we find under Martin Luther, he brought justification by faith. Finney, Moody, Spurgeon, and Knox and great men like that begin to be reformers. They begin to preach. That was the holiness in Methodists that they called a methodic because they were so holy. And there was the Presbyterians, godly people, Methodists and Baptists and various others. They had staunch convictions on worldliness and things like that. But we find God poured out his Holy Ghost upon Methodists, Baptists, Nazarenes, and full Gospels, they were not called at that time. But God began to pour out his Spirit, and they received the Holy Ghost, and all at once to begin to call them Pentecostal people. And so we find that was back about 62 years ago. When God poured it out, he poured it out overnight all over the world, in London and in England, in London and in China, and in Hong Kong, and in Georgia up here, and in Azusa Street, California. We find all over the face of the earth, God began to pour out his Spirit. Many cases, there would be as much as 200 to 300 tarrying, and the Holy Ghost would come down and fill every one of them with the Holy Ghost. Now, it's not that the Holy Ghost wasn't for them at any time. There has always been a nucleus of people. I could mention a half a dozen of the different names of the ones that have gone underground, that have sought God, that's been filled, like Spurgeon spoke about one time when he laid prostrate before God all night long in a prayer meeting. And when he woke up, the coals that were hot and burning in the heater had completely gone out. He had been out, and when he came to himself, he was muttering words that he never heard before in his life. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. That's in his book. You can get that on your library and read it today. And why was it that when Finney prayed and went into a city, the whole city would be put under conviction? People driving down the street would start crying and would stop and come in and ask for a preacher to pray with them. They felt the conviction of God. Why? Because it was God's time that he was gathering together a people for the end time, for the church to go out in a blazing fire, and for God to restore everything the early church ever had in it and to restore it. So Pentecostal people begin to be born again by the thousands everywhere. They begin to be filled with the Holy Ghost and the gifts given to them, and outstanding miracles happen. As you know, in our nation, that we had paths of great evangelists from Florida to New York, and they would go back and forth through the years. There wasn't a community, not a town or a city, but what great big tents were up in. That was Dr. Price, Amy Simple McPherson, Raymond T. Ritchie, and we would find hundreds just like them filling tents. The power of God would fall. They would be slain under power. Miracles by the thousands upon thousands would take place. People were filled with the Holy Ghost. God's power moved in an unusual way. And the years began to slide on. But that was the beginning of the preparation. And it said, whom the heavens must receive, Jesus. The heavens must receive him until the restoration of all things to the church. Meaning that God is going to bring back the power, the Holy Ghost, the gifts in the church that he's always had when the church goes out. But there are certain elements that are going to take place. The Holy Spirit, back in John's day, when he wrote the letter, it said the Holy Spirit speaketh expressly. Now, if you'd go back and roll time back to one of the early churches and go into it, and all at once one of the ladies or one of the men would get up and speak out a message in tongues. And then it was in the day of John. Then all at once here would be another man stand up and he'd give the interpretation. And as he'd give that interpretation, they'd say, you know, the Lord has said that very thing over and over again. What was it the Holy Spirit was speaking back there? It said the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the last days many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines that are not of God. They're doctrines of devils. This earth today is filled with doctrines that they do not get out of the Bible. They're not there in the early church. They're as foreign from the doctrine of Christ as East is from the West. Yet they bring them to their people and they're believing in them. God has not sanctioned them. There never has been a time when God has authorized his word to be laid aside and some new doctrine brought in. But it said in the end time many would depart from the faith, and they've done it. And it said that there would be false Christ. And false prophets would arise and deceive many. And it said that the Spirit in Timothy in the end time perilous times would come. We're right now in the middle of the end time. I'm talking about the countdown is on. The end time perilous times will come. Men, they shall be lovers of self. They're selfish. They will be lovers of self. Covetous, proud, incontinent, fierce. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded. Lovers of pleasure. More than lovers of God. From such, turn away. Lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. The power is the Holy Spirit. Jesus said you receive power after, not before. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But God wants his people filled with the Holy Ghost. Never a one does he want you to operate without the Holy Spirit. It said, be not drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. So we find that God has been concerned about people being filled with the Spirit. And so he says they would have a form of godliness, denying the power. From such turn away. Now, we find that we have come down to the end time. I don't have time to go to all the inventions, to all the things that we have today that we did not have in our dad's day, to prove to us conclusively that we have reached what God's Bible terms the end time. I want to call your attention to some scriptures. Jesus in all the epistle, in all the gospels wrote these words, and these are the words of Jesus. There's going to be a time such as was never like it before from the foundation of the earth. And unless the times was shortened, there wouldn't be any flesh saved. That means that civilization would be wiped out. But he went on to tell us that if we would watch, that we wouldn't have to go through that, because you've kept the words of my patience, I'm going to keep you from that hour. Not in that hour, not through that hour, but from that hour. And watch and pray that you might be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. How many believe, according to God's Bible, that everything that God has foretold that's going to happen is going to happen? Now, but here's the alarming thing. Talking about countdown is on. If I was in this building this morning without God, my friend, there's not enough money in this nation that could persuade me to go out that door and take a gambling chance on my soul, hoping that some other time I would straighten up lock, stock, and barrel with God. Brother, this would be the sellout day. And we find that he tells us that we must not be ready, not get ready, but be ready. For the hour that we think not, the Son of Man is going to come. He says it's going to happen the same generation. It'll all come to pass. He didn't say it'd take a generation for it to happen. He said it's going to all come to pass. And you know, God can just talk about the millennial, just casual, just all the details of it. You know why? He doesn't say, well, I think now we're going to see if we can work it out this way. The devil has all the power the devil has is what God gives him. And he never has generated any power and said, God, I got a little extra horsepower here. I got it myself, being an angel like I am. I manufactured. Oh, no. There is one almighty God, and the devil permits him to have that power. And he wants him to have it so he can tempt you. And he wants to know. And you say, so he can tempt you? Yes. You could not go to heaven without going through a temptation. Why does God say, open up that and get the devil out of there? Well, God, we got him bound for 1,000 years. He hasn't bothered the people. But open it up and let them out. We've got the earth filled as the sands of the sea for multitude. And they cannot go to hell because they haven't done wrong. They haven't had any devil. They've had everybody that's over them is glorified and Holy Ghost filled. And so all the leaders in the whole land and the whole kingdom is sons of God, glorified, and they've got a body like me, and they've been teaching them what to do, and they've been teaching them right and wrong, and but we haven't had no tempter. Now I can't send them to hell, and I can't let them go into heaven because they haven't been tried. I've got to let them with the knowledge they've had. I've trained them and I've taught them, and they've had honoring God. They've got holiness on the doorpost on both sides, and they've got holiness on their clothing. They've got holiness on their bread pans, holiness on the Lord. When they make biscuits, it's holiness on the Lord. When they go out with the horses, I've got holiness on every bell, and the horse plows, and he says, holiness on the Lord, holiness on the Lord. But I've got to let the devil out, and I've got to get to them. Oh, but suppose some of them may not get in. If we just let them all go in, you'll have a big crowd. He said, I'm not after a big crowd. I'm not concerned about a big crowd. I'm concerned about quality, not quantity. And brother, if God had given all to call it hell, and when he brings up the dead, and the dead small and great stand before God, and all of that, and they've been in hell for 1,000 years, some 2,000, some 4,000 years. But it said death and hell delivers up the dead. How do you know it? Because God said so, and everybody's a liar. But God is the truth. And he said they'll come out and stand before God. God said we're going to put an altar here. We're going to let Peter get up here and preach a 15-minute sermon. And we want you to come down and repent. And if you'll repent, I'll let you go to heaven. There wouldn't be one person ever go to hell. And if God said to the devil, devil, if you'll straighten out, I'll let you go into heaven. But I've got news for you. Satan will never go into heaven. And none of them that are in hell will ever go into heaven. Why? Because God's not going to have it. He's already opened his mouth and said it. The countdown is on. And what God says is right. You line up or go to hell. There's only one alternative. Satan will try you every way in the world. The countdown's on. And I'm going to tell you what triggered the countdown in our day. And that means there's no powers in hell can stop it. The trumpet's going to blow. I don't care what under heaven anybody does, brother. The countdown has already started. For many hundreds of years, it had not started.
Because nobody could say this and that and the other. These things are the things that triggered off when he said, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. You don't know the day and hour, but we all know the generation. He said, you know that generation. When it comes, knowledge is going to increase. You'll have things invented that your forefathers never had. How many believe we've arrived? Huh? Now, what you doing? What were they doing when the rocket shut off? What were they doing just before the countdown? They was preparing. They were preparing and getting everything ready. They were working around the clock feverishly. Every man was checking every facet of that thing to see that nothing will go wrong before the countdown. Let me tell you, Nahum says, in the day of the Lord's preparation. In the day of the Lord's preparation. He said, way down at the end time. When the Lord, in the day of the Lord's preparation, when he's preparing a people for his name. You turn to James, I was reading it last night. Be patient, therefore, brethren, in the coming of the Lord. The husbandman hath long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. You see, what's he going to do? It said that it ripens up the precious fruit. You see, he receives the early and the latter rain. So the precious fruit of the earth can ripen up. And he has long patience for it. When did he start? When the Holy Spirit began to be poured out over our country. God began to prepare, and it was the day of the Lord's preparation. He was bringing people out, Episcopalian, Lutheran, Catholic, Baptist, Methodist. Go on, say it, whatever you want. He was bringing them by the thousands out of all those churches, bringing them in and saving them, filling them with the Holy Ghost, and anointing them with gifts, and boys overnight would throw the plow down and go out preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, packing out store places, tents, and the power of God would fall by the hundreds. They'd get the Holy Ghost, fall out on the power and speak in tongues. Outstanding miracles that happen, and many of them by the thousands would quit their painting. They'd throw their paintbrush down, take a Bible, and a few nights of preparation, they'd start going out and witnessing and preaching. And what was God doing? It was the beginning. And you know what Nahum said way back there, hundreds of years before Jesus ever came here? You know what Nahum said? It said, in the day of the Lord's preparation, when the countdown is on, just before the countdown, he's going to prepare and get everything ready. And it said, you know what he's going to do? It said, in the day of the Lord's preparations, the chariots will run down the broadways without horses. And they'll run like lightning. And they'll have big headlights on the front of them. He was seeing our day with our super highways all over the United States. Anywhere you go in a helicopter, you can see freeways every direction. One crowd of cars coming this way, one crowd of cars coming this way. At night, you see far as your eyes can see, little red dots. That's a tail light. You look over here on this side and you see the bright lights coming. They got a power plant on the inside of them giving out headlights, and they're going down the broadways. In Nahum's day, there wasn't a broadway in the nation. There wasn't a highway in the nation. There wasn't a concrete road from town to town. Nowhere in existence. And when I was a boy in Texas, there wasn't one highway that connected any town in the United States. Since my boyhood days, we have counter-tacted. We have now leased all of our highways, all of our cities, with great broadways between each one. And if you go on any of them at night, you see by the hundreds of thousands going back and forth. Daniel picked up his telescope and looked down the telescope of time. And he said, I see in the end time. He said, I focused it down to the very end time.
And he said, I see there many. Yes, he said, there's many of them that shall run to and fro. It will be a day of traffic. Brother, in my boyhood days, if you wanted to get out of the county, you had to get old Ned and Kate and hook them up to the wagon, and that's the way you traveled. Nobody had automobiles, and you'd run across the field to look at an automobile when it stopped. And I know what I'm talking about. I got in a Ford car. It didn't have no top. It had those some kind of windshield you could look through. Forget what they called it, curtains, and they put them up, and they had holes all in them, and he had to crank the thing, jack the hind leg up, the hind wheel up, and he had to pour hot water in it. He took a baling wire, pulled it out like this, called choking it, and then he got in there and cranked it. Most of them would get their arms broke. You'd see men everywhere with their arm broke, but they'd choke it, you know, and then they'd say, wait a minute, you got too much spark. Turn the spark down. You had the old handlebars in there, and then finally, you'd do it, you know, two or three times, and you'd pull that choke out, and finally it'd start. You'd sway up and down, the thing never could get stopped. It'd just go to shaking and shaking and shaking, and they'd get in the thing. That's called a Model T Ford. We've come a long way, baby. Brother, I'm going to tell you, we've got highways today instead of the ditch road, the old muddy roads. And when did he say? God said in the day of the Lord's preparation, I'm going to fill the highways, and they're going to be automobiles with chariots. They'll be running like lightning. They'll be jostling together, wrecking in the broadways. That ought to wake us up. We said, I've heard that, yes, but has it made an impression upon you? God hasn't changed. We're in the countdown now. The trumpet hasn't blown, but it's going to right away. I'm going to tell you something to soberize you. The main thing that Jesus and all of them earmarked, as it were, in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Before the flood, he said, the earth was filled with violence. Men's hearts were on evil continually before the flood. As it were in the flood, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Where did it come from? The mouth of Jesus. God said, hear him. That was God the Father said, hear him. Whatever he tells you, Jesus said, as it were in the days of Noah. They knew not till the flood came and took them all away. They knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Had he let a little wind blow and a little cloud come up, and Noah run out among all of them and said, hey, if you get in here, God told me, and I'm honest with you, the flood's going to come and I'm going to be preserved, but if you'll just come, get in. God didn't want them in. He wanted them out. Why? Because he had no present preparation of dealing with anybody at that time. He'd quit. He'd fold it up. He'd pull the curtains on them. Or at least that's what the book said. That's what Jesus says. And that's what the Bible says. He said before that flood, they eat, they drank, they married, and they given in marriage. They didn't take time to marry. They just lived with each other like dogs. Commit fornication, adultery, lie, cuss, steal, swear, just living for the flesh. Just having a ball. Nobody upset. Man, commerce was at its top. Building they planted. And the hearts of men were on evil continually. And the Bible says that God said before the flood, 120 years before the countdown, you read it. I read it very slowly and slowly again and again and again before I ever preached it. Because for several years of my life, I told about how Noah stood out there and pled for him to come in. I'm sorry. I don't know where I got it, but I guess someone else preached it. But there's not one word of that true. Noah was a preacher, but not one word was ever given to that bunch He preached several hundred years after the flood, and he was a godly preacher. I want you to understand, brother, that God wasn't wanting customers in there. He was wanting to cleanse the human race to where he could have a decent race and start over. And he wasn't wanting someone to run and get in that ark to get out of the flood and not get drowned. You could preach anything under heaven and get out there and bang on a tin can and tell them, hey, come over here, I got something to tell you about God. And I'll guarantee you could be dumb and not knowing ain't from taint, and you get up and preach, and any dumb cluck could get a handful of followers overnight. Anyone could do it. Noah preached a long time. Noah preached after the flood. But Noah built that ark. He could have got out and preached one night and got a bunch of customers. But you know how many went in? The same amount that God told him before he ever nailed a nail on that ark. He told him who was going in that ark and who's going to be in there when he shut the door, and told him all about it. And brother, I read it over and over again. I said, God, I missed it back there. I just went on imagination, but it's nowhere to be found in the book. And you know what the Bible says, and this will make you sit up and look at me, because the same. He said, as it were back there, just before the countdown, my spirit strove with all the drunkards, the whoremongers, the sex perverts, the liars, and the thieves, the cussers, the ones reveling in their eating and drinking, having a big time, forgetting God, putting God wherever they wanted to put him. But my Holy Spirit strove with them. My spirit, it said in that Bible, you read it there, it said my spirit is not going to always strive with man. There's going to be a day, since he is a person, he's going to stop and he's going to give the signal, it's enough. And when the spirit leaves you, brother, you are dead. No man can come to the Father except the Spirit of God draw him. You walk up and say, God, I got here without Spirit. Drew me. I come. First of all, you're not going to do it. I'm going to tell you, you're not going to be stirred or awakened. You're going to be as dead as a hammer. You can still eat. You can still drink. You can cuss better than ever before, and you can live in sin up to and let it run out your ears, brother, and it'll not bother you. Why? Because God's Spirit has left you. It's a dangerous thing. He said, in the day that you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Don't, you can trifle with everybody. You can commit all kind of sin, but don't fool with God. God said, my spirit is not going to always strive. Now, I said, you hear that, Noah? Yeah. Though his years be 100, though his days be 120, all of them lived about 900 years. Noah's lived over 900. He lived 950. All the rest of them, 600, 700, 800, they lived. But God said, I'm giving man, flesh, 120 years. He didn't have Shem, Ham, and Japheth when this took place. You read it. You find out through the genealogies just when God told Noah, I'm having a business meeting with you, Noah. And he didn't tell him one thing about destroying the world. He didn't tell Noah one thing about building an ark. He didn't tell him one thing about destroying the earth, Bawada. But the same mouth that spoke the word, the world shall be destroyed by water, has reserved the world under the fiery indignation of Almighty God. The same one said that world went by water, and the next one is going to go by fire. I want you to listen to this. God said, Noah, I'm going to talk to you. I'm not going to always strive with man. Give me 120 years. You read it there in your book. Years went by. 50, 60, 70. Shem came on. Ham, Japheth. Had three sons that grew up, grown. Well, still sinning, still reveling, still sex perverts, still lying, still cussing, still gambling, still ignoring God. No time for prayer, no time for God, but all gone out, all for the flesh, eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, living a high life. Thoughts on evil continually. The earth is corrupt. It's not getting better. When anything is corrupt, it's got infection in it. When anything is corrupt, that's a sign it's getting worse and not healing. The earth is corrupt. How many believe our society, our world, our good old precious America, it's corrupt. It's not getting better. By the hour, it's becoming more polluted. I love America flag more than anybody or as much as anybody in this place. I'm fighting to keep our freedom. It's fast slipping away from us. Our society is being polluted by the rattlesnakes that are attacking the home and the souls from every direction. God said, go on, Noah, I'll talk to you later. Whew. Noah went out and said, man, God is all riled up. Here for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, God's been dealing with Cain's descendants. They got to marrying Seth's descendants. The godly line and the ungodly line got to marrying, and now it's polluted. And at last, the whole godly line is wiped out. And all the godly line has learnt the way of the ungodly. Brother, you let the church mix around and fool around the world. The first thing you know, you got a church full of worldliness. God said he hates the world. How many believe that? That little old thing on your head can do like this. He said, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. He hates it. This is his body. That's his bride. And he doesn't want you contaminated with the world. Other things in the world. Let me get this thing up out of my way. All right. Now, Noah went off and he said, my God been dealing with them over and over and over again. Here he tells us, my spirit's not only going to always strive with the flesh. You hold on just a minute. So went on. Imagine Noah said time after time, God, I remember what God told me. And his boys got up and got grown. He'd sit and talk to the boys. Boy, God talked to me way back there. He said, though there are years, be 120. He said, countdown is on. Oh, yeah. Nobody concerned about it. Wasn't cool nobody's coffee. Still drinking, carousing. Earth still corrupt. God said, I know what I'm going to do. And listen, after the boy has got to be grown, and now the 120 years have come. How do you know? Check your genealogy. See how old Noah was when God spoke to him the first time and said, my spirit is not going to always strive with man. See when it was, and then see when it was when God spoke to him the second time and called him and said, Noah, come here, I got a little business meeting with you. Read it in your Bible when you go home. And he said, Noah, I'm going to talk to you again. He said, yes, sir. He said, son, yes, sir, Lord, yes, sir. You remember when I talked to you the last time? He said, yes, sir. Yes, sir, way back there, about 120 years. He said, what did I tell you then? My spirit would not always strive with man. Now, today, the countdown is on. When I get through talking to you, it's going to start down until the final shutting of the door of the ark. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. You don't know anything about a flood, do you, son? No, sir. I've come to tell you. You don't know anything about you building me an ark, do you? No, I don't. Well, I'm going to tell you. You do know that I told you back there my spirit was not going to always strive with man. Yes. The end of all flesh has come. And all flesh shall be destroyed. For man is flesh. Thou shalt build an ark. Build it of gopher wood. Build it so many cubits long, so many cubits high. 3 stories in all. Put a big window in the top. Make one door. Type of Christ. Build that ark. Get your boys ready. Get everything ready. I'll bring all the animals. I'll bring every fowl. I'll bring everything to you. You won't have to go out after them. And God did. And I will cause, when you complete the ark, I will cause you and your wife to go in the ark. Listen to what God is saying. I will cause you and your wife to go in the ark. I will cause your three sons and their wives to go in to the ark, and I will shut the door, period. He said that before a nail was ever driven. He never said, I want you to go out and witness to everybody you can and tell them to please come in. My spirit is through. It's curtains. There's no hope for them. And if I tell them to get in there and escape the flood, I'll get a bunch of polluted, rotten stuff I'll have to deal with later. I want to take you because you're godly, and your three sons and their wives, and I'll put them in the ark, and I'll shut the door, and I'll bring a flood and destroy all man. You read it, and if it doesn't read like that, you come to me and show me. Noah said, all right, Lord, the end of all flesh has come. My spirit will not always strive with man. Yesterday, the door was open. Today, it's closed. The countdown is on. And he went out and immediately laid the foundation for the boat. And the nails begin to whirl. Hammers begin to sound. People had come by and no doubt say, you know what you're doing? I'm building an ark up here. Up on the mountain? Oh, yeah. They thought he's a nut. He didn't go into details. He didn't have to. God didn't tell him to tell nobody. And nobody can find a word anywhere where Noah ever chirped a sound to anybody in his day. God said, you build an ark. And when you get it finished, the countdown is on, and I'll put you and your wife and your three sons and their wives in, and I'll shut the door on eight. And finally, God said, the countdown is on. It said eight, seven. And then he said to him, he said, son, one more day. I told you 7 days, 6 days, 5 days, 4 days, 3 days, 1 day. One more day, Noah, and the flood's coming. The heavens were clear, had always been all of his life. There was no clouds, there was no sound of rain, and the jugs were pouring their wine. People were dancing with their music. Society, through their education, had reached a height such as we have today. The earth was filled with violence. They were going on with a death sentence hanging over their head because God said something they didn't know about, and it said they knew not until the flood came. The next day came, and God said, no, this day is the day. And all the animals came in, and all the birds and everything. And finally, everything was there. And God spoke to Noah and to his sons and said, Noah, get your wife and your boys and their wives and get in the ark. And they got in. And it said, well, how am I going to close that door? It said, I'll shut the door. I'll close it. And the Bible says God shut the door on who he said would get in. Why? Because his spirit had striven and striven and striven. And God said, the end of all flesh is come. I'm going to destroy the whole bunch. That's hearing millions and millions and millions of women scream as the waters come up and up and up. And he turned the fountains of the deep on, and the waters begin to boil out from underneath the earth. And the oceans begin to belch out waves 50 to 75 feet high. As the great artesian wells underneath the Atlantic and Pacific opened up, and he said he opened up the fountains of the deep, and the waters begin to gush out and cause ripples. The clouds become black and murky, and all at once, they'd never seen that. All at once, there was a peal of lightning that went across the heavens, and a ripple of wind blowing leaves, and a vibrating thunder. The people on earth had never seen clouds, had never seen lightning in their life. And now, what strange phenomena. And all at once, the elements opened up and a cloud burst broke loose all over the face of the earth. And the earth was drenched with rain for 40 days and for 40 nights until it came up and up and up and covered the whole world and covered the mountains until every child was screaming. 40 days and 40 nights, perishing. Some lived for hours, some for days, screaming. They didn't juggle their liquor anymore. They didn't tune up their instruments anymore. They quit their cussing. Brother, they had a wholesale prayer meeting. Oh, God, they all began to pray. But prayer time was too late. Brother, there was a time. There was an invitation given to pray. They had other things in mind. They didn't have prayer in mind. But brother, there's going to come a day when God's going to talk. I'm winding up now. God said it's 3, 2, 1, 0. Get in. And the ark was closed. Could anything stop him from the time he told Noah, go and build it? The time of the end is coming. The end of all flesh is here. The countdown was on. Are you looking at Brother Hibbard? Let me tell you something that will make you think. And if you don't think, you haven't got a good head on you. Jesus said, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered thee as a hen gathered her brood? But you would not. I give my life. I've come to this world to save you. But you would not. Now, as I sit on this mountainside with tears in my eyes looking down, while I talk, the door is closed as of this second. Now your house is left desolate. You will fall to the edge of the sword. And as same as there was a period of time when God said the end of all flesh has come, I'm through. There was a period of short years before Titus came in right after that and lowered Jerusalem and took every one of them captive. He said, you will fall by the edge of the sword and you will be led away captive to all nations. The blood will flow down and there will not be one stone left on another. The countdown is on. And brother, the countdown didn't stop until every Jew had vacated Jerusalem. And there wasn't one stone left upon the temple. But what was thrown down? Every street was drenched with their blood. Nothing on earth can stop God's countdowns. And they were scattered to every nation under heaven for 1900 years. But Jesus said, Luke 21st chapter, Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles. Let me explain this. I'm not a Gentile. I used to be, up to the age of 19, I was a Gentile. But when I came to Christ, I ceased to be a Gentile according to the New Testament. All the scriptures tell me there's neither Jew nor Gentile with God, but a new creature. All the ones that are not from the tribe of Israel, they're not Jews. They're classed as Gentiles. The 12 tribes are classed as Israel. And all the rest of the world is classed as Gentiles. But God said, I'm setting up my kingdom in the world, and they're made up of a holy nation, and when they come in, are born again, they're no longer a Gentile, they're a new creature. So what I'm getting ready to tell you, if you are a Christian now looking at me, this has no effect on you. But if you are not a Christian, it most definitely does have effect on you. No matter how close you rub elbows with one of God's children, it's not rubbing elbows, it's letting Christ come in your heart. That's the thing Almighty God is looking at, is whether Christ is in your heart. And Jesus said, Jerusalem here is going to be vacated and sent away to every nation under heaven, which they did. And Jerusalem shall fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive to all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. My spirit will not always strive. I'm going to deal with the Gentiles. I'm going to send a revival among them such as never had. And he did that. And he's done that for years. But he said the thing that you check your countdown is when Jerusalem goes back in the end time. There's a way for 1900 years. I want you to catch this, every word of it. But Jesus out there on that mountain, the same word that said, Israel, it's up. You're through. You fail to know the day of your visitation. Now your house is left desolate. You'll fall. You'll be led away. You'll become a hiss and a byword. You'll be scattered because you would not let me gather you as a hen gather a brood. I'll scatter you. Now, he said Jerusalem is going to be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And when the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, means it winds up. How are you going to know it? How are you going to know when the fullness of the Gentiles be come in? Because Jesus opened up his mouth right there, and his first prophecy came to pass exactly. They were scattered. They were driven out. They were scattered to every nation under heaven. Exactly from that hour, they were blinded. God gave them a spirit of slumber, eyes that couldn't see and ears that couldn't hear. Why? They had eyes and they wouldn't use them. They had ears but they wouldn't listen to God. They had a heart, but they had no place for God in it. And through their pride and arrogancy, he caught up with it and he said, it's done, it's through. But watch Jerusalem. When they are no longer trodden down by Gentiles, and when at last Jerusalem comes back and throws her flag up in the city of Jerusalem, then the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Is that in your Bible? You read it. 11th chapter of Romans. You read it. He said, be not high-minded, but feareth. God took his natural Jews, the natural Israel, and cast them off. Take heed, lest he spare not thee. Listen to me. Until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. As I preached, Jerusalem would go back. They did. They got within a stone's throw of Jerusalem, but for several years, they did not go in the city of Jerusalem. Not a Jew. They didn't get the head cut off. They was in the city, but not in the city of Jerusalem. They was separated from the city itself. They had a place in Palestine. They had many miles that they had conquered. But for years, they were in sight of the city. They could see their mother city where they had always longed to come back. But in the Six-Day War, something happened. Are you listening to Brother Hibbard? In the Six-Day War, what did I preach from our pulpit dozens of times? Israel is within a stone's throw of her destination. But when she goes in and throws up her flag, then that triggers the very end of the Gentile nations. I didn't say it. I had nothing to do with it. It came out of the mouth of Almighty God that said what he did back there before the flood, and nobody believed it. But he said it. He said, you stand by faith. Now he said that if we come in and accept Christ, we're the seed of Abraham. We're no longer an Israel or a Gentile, but we're a new creature. But he said, upon the world there is going to be a fullness. Let me say this. In Acts the 15th chapter and the 18th verse, James stood up and said, brethren, how that God did visit the Gentiles. He didn't go to stay, visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Then he shall, after that, he shall return and build again the tabernacle of David. Let me say this in closing. God visited us for 1900 years. And God sent a latter rain. And God has given us a chance, as he gave Israel a chance back there. And we've had a revival that has bathed this whole country. But all at once, since the Jews went back in and occupied Jerusalem and put their flag up for the first time, any great politician will tell you, and the men that study the way of our economy will tell you, and a man just the other day, Ronnie is right here listening to me, they had men all over this whole nation gathered in to hear this great man that has sat with every president and has counseled with him. He sat with the men, the top men of the world. And he was talking to these men here in Dallas, a great big auditorium packed full. And someone asked the question, when and what was the cause of this nation of ours taking such a toboggan slide? He stepped up and he said, that has been the paramount question, and I have given many hours and days of research on it. I cannot tell you why it's gone like it has, but I can tell you when it started. It started right when the Jews went in. Now, he's not a preacher. He's not a Bible verse man. He only deals with facts. He said, our nation has taken a toboggan slide since the Six-Day War when Israel went up and put her flag up. But what has caused an invasion of witchcraft, and what has caused an invasion of sex perversion, what has caused the breakdown on our television of using God's name in vain, and what has caused a reverse in our law system that there's no respect for the law and law has got out of hand. He said every trace of society is coming apart at the seam. It started at the Six-Day War. What did a mouth say 1900 years ago? Jerusalem shall fall to the edge of the sword and shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. There was a time when a backslider could go out and he could get under repentance and come back and get a hold to God. You find backsliders going away from God today, brother. You find them staying away from God. You find sinners out there now. It's going to take a miracle to bring them to God. If you can get them to God and get them to pray and open their heart, the veil will be taken away. Else the countdown is on. I didn't say it. God said it. Do we see a difference in our nation today? It's not having effect on God's people. But brother, it's having a tremendous effect on the sinner. We're having sermons that this sermon that I'm preaching now had been preached in Finney's day, I wouldn't be in this pulpit. The crowds would have stopped. They would have rose to their feet. And people in those days would run the altar, grab a post and scream out, my God, pray for me, I'm falling into hell. Because they respected the word of God. But today they can sit under a message like this.